Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
So I'm thinking we need to change the name of the show to Grinch and Keefe. You can't let the kids at the presents because you might have to clean up some wrapping paper? Oh my goodness.
Does everybody at your house have to wear a uniform too?
Oh God, no.
They have to walk up to you, shake your hand, and say, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
They're like, thank you. And Gresh is like, thank you what? Thank you, sir.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
And that's caught here. And Marcus Jones inside the 20. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Touchdown.
Andy Gresh.
Play action. Fires. Caught. Diggs for the score. Allen running and throws. And it's caught by Gabe Davis in the end zone.
Before the pass was thrown, holding. Defense number 13. This penalty's declined. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Rich Keefe.
Bills trying to turn it into a potential three-possession lead. Singletary. Into the end zone he goes. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Gresh and Keefe right now.
Obviously, just couldn't do enough tonight. Again, give Buffalo credit. Good football team. But we just couldn't do enough. Had some opportunities, but just nothing in particular, just in general, not quite good enough in any area. It's about the end of it.
On WEEI.
All right.
Rough. Man. Talking about going backwards on offense in a big way. For 40 minutes, the defense was on the field.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
That's a long time. Now, it's also on the defense. You know, get off the field. There is also that.
Well, at times they did.
And they did a couple times.
They were out back there in under a minute.
Yeah, no, the offense is just terrible. Maybe the Minnesota defense is even worse than we thought. But, yeah, no, it was one of those things where...
Now it's going to turn into an indictment of the Vikings. They're not going anywhere.
No, but it's just... You know, not all wins are the same. Not all losses are the same. You know, they beat the Jets a couple of weeks ago, but it almost felt like a loss because the offense was so bad, but it was actually a win. Last week on Thanksgiving, it felt like the offense had maybe made some strides, even though they weren't perfect, but they made some strides. It was a loss, but it was like, okay, there's something to take out of
it. You were functional.
And then this one last night was just... Listen, I thought the Bills were a much better team, but then when you see it unfold the way that it did... The offense just was so bad once again. And this is game 12. And it's like, what have they done to show any signs of improvement? 14 points. It felt further than that. I think Michaels and Herbstreit even mentioned that at one point, too. They're like, it's a 10-point game. It doesn't feel like a 10-point game. Patriots aren't on the scoreboard out of it, but just the way the offense was going about it. And if the Bills seem to have their success on offense early and then just kind of take their foot off the gas, they're like, all right, we're good.
Well, they clearly were content with running the ball and it was working. Yep. And they went into shrink the game mode. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's like 17-7 fourth quarter and you're like, man, you get a turnover, you get something. But by the second half, you felt hopeless on offense. And the beginning of the second quarter and that disaster, when your quarterback avoids a safety by taking an intentional grounding to keep points off the board. Like,
yeah. That when you're arguing for, like, no, intentional grounding on the one. It was on the one. Like, show the replay.
Like, that was actually a good play by the quarterback at that time, given what was going on around him. That just lets you know that it's irretrievably broken. And what has happened to Trent Brown?
Well, I think what we're learning with Trent Brown is 2018 is really the outlier.
Correct.
I think 2018, for some reason, he put it all together. And there was a reason why a guy that size kind of bounced around and San Francisco gave up on him. He was really good. For some reason, he was motivated then. I think that's the real question. It's like, why did you put it all together in 2018? Because then he goes to the Raiders. He's hurt and doesn't care. He's out of shape. Comes back here. Seems to want to be here. They move him to left tackle this year. Doesn't really seem to be engaged.
No.
Started the season. It was a mess. Then there was a few games where he was fine. Wasn't really an issue. And then once again, how many times was the offensive line either getting blown by or they thought the play was over, and they're just like walking around out there.
Well, same thing happened on defense. Like Josh Allen made.
He's nasty.
Well, he made two or three hero plays in part because the Patriots didn't finish the play. Well, we talked all day yesterday about Allen and running and all that. They did a good job with that. And then there's Mack Wilson, like we talked about. There's the speed guy. He closed him on the corner and then doesn't finish the play.
Well, I think,
same for John Jones as well.
It's a give and take, I think, with a guy like Mack Wilson because, he might be fast enough to keep up with Josh Allen,
right,
but he's not strong enough to bring him down.
And well, when you stop playing and you don't tackle the guy and you don't make any effort to tackle the guy, like, again, get him around the legs.
But there are complaints.
You're not going to get his right arm, and that drove me nuts.
So to me, there was the 1 week where the defense and the special teams shined. That was the Jets week. And then there was the Vikings where the defense and the special teams let you down, but the offense actually played a better game. Last night, even though, you know, it's 24-10, I thought across the board was pretty bad. Like, the offense clearly screams to you not ready for prime time. But even to me, the defense, like, you know, Steph Diggs is a go-to guy. And normally, Bill Belichick teams can take away the one guy. We had the numbers yesterday about like 39% of the passes go his way or more, even more go his way, but like touchdowns, receiving yards, receptions. Like, he is the guy. 7 for 92 and a touchdown. Also had a sick touchdown that was called back because of holding.
Well,
what a great throw and catch that was, but whatever, that's wiped off the board. But even still, 92 and a score for a guy that you would think would be the number one priority there. So,
and his numbers weren't as good as Jefferson's last week, but to me, Diggs had more impact than Jefferson did.
It seemed like there was a lot of third and longs. It seemed like a lot of conversions.
He bailed him out.
And he was great, and he was finding ways to get open, and Allen's just sticking it to him, right, like right in his shoulder pad on that one play. So.
And they rotated all the corners, and that's where you would like to. And we talked about if you had Jalen Mills, who, by the way, told us on this freaking show that he's going to be fine and be in there.
A liar.
And then, I mean, very much so.
No,
and then,
it didn't help.
But if he's out there, then at least you have another. But like they said, we're not putting Miles Bryant on Steph Diggs. We know that he can't handle him.
But I think we learned a little bit. And listen, Jack Jones could end up being a really nice player, and everybody's all excited about how good.
Of him being a rookie.
And like, right. And like, Jack, like, oh, his PFF numbers, he's the best corner in the league. It's like, all right, well.
John Jones had his worst game.
John Jones did too, but even Jack Jones, like, you know, there was that pass interference on a third and long.
He had two plays.
He tackled the guy.
He almost had what we thought would have been a pick six. He tried, remember they even highlighted it. They're like, oh, Jack Jones tried to jump the route, but guess what? He tripped. Right. One turned into a PI and the other turned into what might have been a missed pick six.
Yeah. Well, it's insulting to throw it out on him. Less, of course, he trips over his own
feet.
Well,
that was a throw to the flat. Yeah. And, I mean, he's tripping over his feet.
Yeah, so it wasn't a good game for him. It wasn't a good game for the secondary. And I think they're in line for what is going to be a series of these types of games. When you look at the receivers, Jefferson last week, Diggs this week, all the guys that they got coming up ahead of them. But 24 points on the whole, you'd be like, oh, that's actually not a terrible defensive job. But I just didn't feel like they were going to come up with a stop. And if this was going to be a team that was led by their defense, it was going to win with defense. I think they've proven against good to great quarterbacks this season, it's not happening.
Well, I think the pass rush was okay for a while.
Yeah, Uche on a backup left tackle with a bum ankle, Uche can get to the quarterback. So I'll take that.
Well, I mean, he did get to, what was the game that he had the two sacks in? Or three sacks in? Well, that was also the six sack game where they, you know.
Colts? Oh, that was Ellinger.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, there is a little bit of that. And again, everybody focuses on the quarterback that you play. It's also about the offensive line, as, by the way, we're proving here as well, that it's about the offensive line.
Yeah,
and
both offensive lines were good. No, I'm not even disrespecting Uche. I'm saying, listen, if they have a backup lineman, just like the Patriots have a backup lineman, you have to take advantage of that.
Well, the Patriots started their fifth tackle, it seems like. Yeah. Well, because Wynn was out. Yep. And Kajust was out, and Cannon's already on IR, so you're down to the immortal Connor McDermott,
right,
who at times just looked lost out there.
Was he better than Trent Brown, though?
Why? No. You know what? No, I don't. They were both equally terrible, and again, we also balance the philosophy. You're asking these guys to execute cut blocks, and they can't do it.
No.
So why are you calling that? It's just a Fruity Whip headache I didn't think the defense was brutal. Again, when you...
I wouldn't call it brutal, but I don't think it was good.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're...
I just feel like the defense was kind of... Like,
they were asked to do too much last night against a team that's too good.
Well, there's that, and I think... But that's also the way this team is built. It's also the way this team is kind of like is coached. Like they're gonna have to be better defensively than offensively, I think, to win games. And I just feel like against good teams, they're not gonna be able to, you know, snuff them out, limit them to, you know, 10 points, 14 points. Like I don't think that's gonna
happen.
Well,
luckily the next two aren't good. But then again, we have a ton of time to be able to get to that.
Oh yeah, no, we definitely do. But it was frustrating for so many reasons. I would also argue that the one highlight of the game offensively can also be spun negative if you wanted to.
Oh, let me tell you, Bill Belichick talked about Marcus Jones this morning, and the answer might aggravate some people.
Yeah, I bet
when you hear it, because
I bet it will.
It's reasoned, but it's also way too late to the party this guy has an ability to do.
But it's one of those things where the offense has been so inept, and it was inept once again last night, and they rip off a 48-yard touchdown with a guy they drafted to play corner and return punts and whatever. I know he was a jack of all trades in college, and even our own Andy Hart is talking about put him on offense. Obviously he was right, but it's also they couldn't get any kind of sustained drives. Their one score was, I don't want to call it fluky, because I'm glad they called something unorthodox. About time they try to get the ball to a playmaker,
well,
no matter where
he is.
Well,
it felt like that was an adjustment at the line of scrimmage by Mac as well. Like they read it, and well, the way they broke it down, the corner slid up, the safety went over, and you saw Parker on the outside recognize what was going on and leave the outside corner alone, and Jones was still able to run away from that.
It was
guy.
Like, but so your one offensive touchdown, you basically caught the Bills by surprise. It wasn't like you were able to line up anything and actually execute it.
Yeah, I think it was a right play call against the right defensive call.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean,
but it's also his first offensive snap of the season.
But that's also what was going on against Minnesota, is that there was the right play calls against the right defensive calls, and you at least had some hope. I think a part of it too is there's no rhythm offensively. The crowd went dead.
No, it's a terrible offense.
And
they're 31st in red zone offense. The only one worse is Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, who we look at as the punchline joke of the league.
Right.
Everybody's making fun of both of them. The Patriots are in the same category.
But they have an alleged great quarterback.
Yeah, no, they do, and the Patriots obviously don't, and the Patriots don't have they have a horrible play caller, but the fact that the best head coach of all time is overseeing this and allowing it to happen, that to me is the biggest
thing.
No,
it is.
If people want to call in and criticize Patricia, I'm all for it. I'm all ears. I've moved past that. I'm looking at the guy who put him in place, the only guy in the world who thought he was qualified.
Who could get away with it.
But he was like, yeah, he'll coach the offensive line and my young quarterback and call plays. That's insane. So this really is on Bill Belichick, less so on Matt Patricia.
Well, and the tackles as well. Those are Bill Belichick selections. Bringing Trent Brown back, that's a Bill Belichick move.
Yep.
You know,
but that's the thing. It's like he wears all the hats there.
Right.
So you can complain about drafts from years past. You can complain about free agents. You can complain about pulling out assembling the coaching staff. But you can also now complain about on-field decisions, too. Like, he's kind of run the gamut of mistakes so far this year.
And now there's player frustration, which probably is 3 weeks behind. I mean.
And I don't blame him. Yeah, but when you're winning some of these games, even though there were like some clear signs that things weren't great, you're winning enough games. They were in a playoff spot a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the guys were going to hold their tongue a little
bit. Spoiling over with Mac a little bit.
Yeah, because I thought Mac last night was...
It's philosophical.
Yeah.
He was... His outburst on the sideline was about philosophy.
But you know what? I think that may... I think Patriots fans are going to embrace Mac Jones more because him screaming on the sideline was all of us at home last
night. I was just going to say, it feels like he represented everyone out there. 617-779-7937. We'll just get right into breaking this down. Bill Belichick was asked this morning about the first half and the end of the first half and how all that went down. Ramondre and Marcus Jones are really the bright spots. Kendrick Bourne last night talked about the offense. We have the longer chunk of Kendrick Bourne. Right. So nothing gets taken out of context when we hear that. And Bill on Marcus Jones might set some Pats fans on fire when we get to that a little bit later on.
With Bill today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
I think we should scrap the Christmas music today and only play sad songs.
Bad day, sad day.
Sad Taylor Swift. Yep.
We can do that. Okay, we got Rush on board.
Sad Mariah Carey.
Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey. Let's throw some Coldplay in there. Goo Goo Dolls, something like that.
We can arrange just, that.
It was a bad day, sad day last night.
Let's just depress everybody, music included.
All right.
All right, let's go to Phil in Maine. First up with Gresh and Keith. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to throw this out there. The old adage, addition by subtraction, and the Celtics have done it, the Bruins have done it, and the Patriots should do it, because Mr. Bill Belichick should be on his way out the door. He stinks. His decision-making stinks, and he can have Matt Patricia carry his bags on the way out. His ass should be out the door. Over the last 3 years, he has destroyed what this team was trying to do. You cannot sit here and look at this team right now and say, oh, well, we're trending in the right direction. We're going to make it. We have faith that he's going to pull us to where we want to be, back on top. No, we're regressing every year. His personnel decisions are disgusting. Now, you look at the locker room, Mac Jones acted that way.
They did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they're not regressing every year, Phil, but I do get your overall point. I mean, they were better in 21 than they were in 20, but they're worse this year than they were last year is what it feels like. I mean, listen, I'm not going to go all the way to Phil, and at the risk of sounding like Johnny Hot Takes here, what would be a sign of a head coach completely losing it? You got to ask yourself that, and I think it could be terrible hires on the coaching staff, bad draft picks, bad in-game clock management, ruining a young quarterback, check, 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 check. Everything that would apply to other coaches around the league that we would look at and be like, oh my God, that guy's screwing up, that guy's messing up. Bill Belichick's kind of hit on all of those over the last year.
Well, yes and no, because the coaching end, you just said 5 minutes ago, no one in the league would be able to put Matt Patricia in there.
He did.
And that, no, but that's what I'm saying is that there's no other coach in the league that would have been given the leeway to even try what Bill has done. So now Bill has to turn around for credibility's sake and say, I did it. I said, put it on me. If it went bad, now I'm going to fix it. I don't think they're going to look at him and say, you've got it to a point to where we need you to get out of here. But if Bill Belichick says to the Crafts, no, I'm sticking with Matt Patricia, that's when you then, as an owner, have to say, is it for the first time in my ownership with this guy, do I really need to lean on him to make a change, or say, you're going to bring in someone different, or we're going to agree to part ways?
I think we all assumed Bill Belichick had a job here for life. As long as he wanted it, he had it. He was Bobby Bowden. He was Joe Paterno. He was that guy.
And I still kind of believe that, too.
I don't because of what you just said. What if he sticks by Matt Patricia? How can you possibly back that?
There's no way he does.
But we also said there was no way that he would hire him for this role.
Well,
we did.
There is that. But now the evidence is there that he used, and Jonathan Kraft went on the radio network and said, Bill has earned the right to do it this way. Okay?
Yeah.
So he earned the right to do it this way. Now, how does he pivot from this?
But you know, Robert,
it's no
Kraft,
different than the Cam Newton year where it was like, okay, we know we need to do something different, and they did, and it worked, and then they now ruined it, and you know, overcooked the turkey.
But you know, Robert Kraft does not enjoy sitting in the box next to Jay-Z watching his team lose a game at home where the crowd is booing, leaving early, and just and watching the offense take a giant step backwards. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the things that we look at with all the head coaches, whether they're new or veteran guys. What do you do with the young quarterback? And he's making it worse. And fine, you can say, well, Matt Patricia doesn't know what he's doing. Right. And who put him there? Bill put him there.
Right.
He's making him worse. We've seen other established coaches figure out ways, whether it was them or hiring the right guys, to develop young quarterbacks. Andy Reid and John Harbaugh, to me, are two of the other AFC coaches that you look at. Like, oh, they're good coaches. They had won with guys before Patrick Mahomes and before Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And then they got those guys, and they found ways
to
make them even better.
Right.
Like, they're both MVPs under those guys as head coaches. Whereas Bill moved on from Brady, obviously too early, got stuck with Cam Newton, or he himself put him in that spot to get Cam Newton. All right, we moved on from that. Promising enough rookie year for Mac Jones, and then you're just burying the guy. Like, there's... The debate on Mac Jones, I think we also need to put to the side, because his offensive line stinks, his wide receivers stink, his play calling stinks.
If Tom Brady were the quarterback last night, they still would have scored 10 points.
They probably would have. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's not
because
a lot
he can't even move like Mac can, and Mac can't move great.
No. No, unless you're Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or a couple of other guys, I don't know what you could possibly do here.
Right.
Like, you're in that kind of a spot.
No, you're in the you need a real nuanced, who understands it type play caller.
Right.
And this is also the flaw that we talked about. What were the dangers at the beginning of the year? As the injuries pile up, can you coach around it? And that's what Josh McDaniels was able to do offensively. Mm-hmm. If there was a bad right tackle, he found ways to coach around it. Now, maybe there's too much going on up front, but then again, who's the O-line coach? Matt Patricia.
It's your same guy.
And who
it's your
put
football
him there?
Advisor.
Bill Belichick. Exactly. Yeah. By the way, I give you credit. At Keefe21 on Twitter, good tweet last night.
Oh, thank you.
Matt Patricia is a disgraced all senior football advisor.
That's right, yeah.
I thought that was very good.
That's him.
Mark in Medford Regression. Keefe, good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. Yeah, it is a sad day when your only touchdown was scored by a defensive back that you had to put in on offense because he's fast. That is sad with all the receivers and running backs that you have. But anyway, what I wanted to point out last night, it happened again. That interception that was ruled an incomplete pass on the sidelines by Poyer. Guys, I'm sorry, but that is a freaking interception. He got 3 feet down and bounced.
It
no,
was,
but he didn't
no,
control
was
the
completing
catch,
the play. Yeah.
Yeah, the ball went squirting out of his hands.
10 feet out of bounds, he hits the ground, and the ball comes out. What a load of crap that rule is. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, the catch rule is whatever it is. I mean, who knows? But yeah, I felt like the ball moved. I thought it was pretty clear.
Right, but the one question I do have, guys, on that rule is that if the ground can't cause a fumble, then why can the ground cause an incomplete pass? The NFL just won't answer that freaking question.
Well, I don't know if so much the ground.
Well, the ground can't cause a fumble because when the guy hits the ground,
right,
then he's down. He's down right there.
Yeah, and if it's in his elbow and his elbow's down and the ball hits.
At first, I didn't think they were going to review it. And the way they showed it, like, he got both feet in, but then as soon as he hit the ground, you saw the ball really squirt. And it wasn't like a Hunter Henry thing from last week. The ball really moved to the other side. And they were about to go to the next play, and then Kirk Herbstreit's like, yeah, I think the ball might have moved. And then it took forever for them to get to the replay.
Whomever was assisting him in the truck or in the booth was on their game last night, because those two calling the game didn't see any of that stuff.
No.
There were a couple times where it'd be like 15 seconds, and then Herbstreit would be like, oh, look at this. And he sounded smart, but you could tell that somebody was feeding him the info, and that was one of them.
That was a frustration throw for Mac Jones, too, because he'd been running for his life. He was trying to make some sort of play happen.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, for Mac in a situation like that, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You run around, you try to make a play. And look, that wasn't a garden variety interception. Like, that would have been a hell of a play by Poyer if he were able to pull it off. But you're right. It was a pure frustration and a, oh, my God, I got to try to get this team going and some way.
And then, and again, Mac Jones fired up later in the game on the sideline. And that was the big video. Did you get caught up in that at all? Everybody trying to read the lips on that one?
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty easy to figure out.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
People were saying
that
run
it was
game.
Run. No, it was
quick.
Quick game. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Like, he wanted to throw it deep. He was sick of the dinking and the dunking. But, yeah, wouldn't you say last night a little bit more of an example of the natives getting restless.
They're not philosophically aligned. Like,
Now they're getting pissed because they're like, we're getting embarrassed on the field, and they're like, enough is enough. We're playing the Bills without Von Miller, and we can't do a damn thing.
Now you know that the players are not aligned with Matt Patricia's offensive philosophy.
At all.
Right.
At all. And I think they are just so disappointed that they're not able to find things in the opposing defense, which was a staple for Charlie Weiss, even Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels. And sure, you could say it was Tom Brady, but I'll also say those coordinators did something where they would find an opponent.
They all went on to be head coaches, some
they
of them
did.
Multiple times.
But they also had offenses that led the league in scoring.
Right.
Like they, or damn near close.
No, of course.
And so they would find a team, and they would be, remember, for some reason it stands out to me, it was like when they played Minnesota years and years ago, they had the Williams Wall. Remember those, you know, Pat and Kevin Williams or whatever it was? They threw the ball every time. They were like, all right, we're not going to run. We threw it every single time. So they would find a weakness in the defense, and they would exploit it. That's how Jonas Gray runs for 200 yards. That's how LeGarrette Blount would have like 4 rushing touchdowns. They would find something in the defense to exploit. I don't know if Matt Patricia's done that once. We thought we saw some signs of it against Minnesota, maybe some signs of life, even though there were still some concerning things and, you know, red zone issues. But, man, did they go right back to where they were before last night.
It's amazing how inept your offense looks when your front five cannot perform consistently.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that's that really, that was you. The story of last. And by the way, the penalties were a part of it, too. At least they got the chunk of penalties done from the start of the second quarter to the mid of the second quarter.
Yeah.
Like, they piled them up all in there, and then after that, it was almost like it was lost.
Yeah.
Kyle in Colorado. Good morning, Kyle.
Well, it's not that good of a morning, buddy, but we're gonna see if we can recover from this one. Mac Jones, I feel bad for him because, you know, last year he had Josh McDaniels, and then he switched over to not even having an offensive coordinator, like nobody's even named right now, and everybody knows Matt Patricia sucks, and I really put that on him. But can we really excuse him for throwing the ball 10 or 15 feet over every single receiver last night? I mean, at that point in time, do we need to go back to the drawing board with the quarterback and find somebody who is better than just a game manager?
Well, yeah. Do you think there's a quarterback in the league that would have survived what was going on around him last night and put up more points to win?
The guy on the
other
side.
I don't mean to bring up Zappy, but
well, maybe Zappy
hour again.
Zappy would have gotten eaten up. And Josh Allen, I mean, again, we talked yesterday, he's a unicorn.
There's a few guys.
If everybody could find one, they would.
But my concern with Mac Jones, big picture, is he a guy that needs everything else to be perfect? Right, like, again, go back to Alabama. Everything was perfect. That team was loaded, and he had really impressive numbers, and they won every single game. Because aren't there a lot of quarterbacks like that? Like, isn't Tua kind of like that? Like, you saw Tua
I think
without
there are
the
more,
coach, without Tyreek Hill, without Jalen Waddle, and you're like,
There are more quarterbacks that need that around them to be successful than there are the guys that we quote-unquote think they can do it all by themselves. There are times where we look at Josh Allen and say, well, he's got one offensive weapon. And at times, but you know what? It's
still
a good offensive weapon.
Scoring
and
whatever,
he is, you know, but they had a run game last night and they took pressure off Josh Allen so he could be more efficient. And, you know.
But some of the plays he makes are just insane, just like Patrick Mahomes.
But that's what people want.
Like,
even your reaction, guy on the other side. Like, he made three hero plays yesterday that bailed them out on third down.
Right.
That there's maybe one other QB in the league that does that, and it's Mahomes. Because you got to have heady awareness to be able to know your route concepts as you're kind of running around.
And it's tough. And obviously, their play style is different, but for 20 years, we also saw a quarterback that could take, you know, maybe less than
he
and
knew
make
the answers,
it better than.
And he knew the answers to the tests. And that's the other thing, too. Like, we're also applying that while Mac Jones is supposed to be at a X level, when in reality, he is a second-year quarterback.
No, your second-year quarterback needs all the help he can get, and you're not giving him anything.
Yeah, that's the, like, you're right on this. The Mac discussion is almost shelved to the side.
Yeah.
Because against Minnesota, when everything went, well, when they blocked, he was okay. And then it turns into a jailbreak last night. And then there's no confidence across the board. And I'll tell you another thing, too. Matt Patricia clams up when the O, like, even more than wide receivers dropping the ball or fumbling, which we've seen. Hell, Ramondre fumbled twice last night.
Yeah, he did.
But when that O line gets sketchy, Matt Patricia doesn't know where to go and where to turn. Nope. And that's the real flaw of him as a pseudo offensive coordinator.
I think it's pretty easy. I mean, for every young quarterback, I mean, it's easy to say, not obviously not necessarily to do, but you need a smart, innovative play caller. You need at least one really good wide receiver and an above average offensive line. And the Patriots have found a way to not give Mac Jones any of those three things.
And patience. And unfortunately for Mac, last year was way better than this year.
Yeah.
So now it's gone to the, well, why should we have patience with him when he took that step forward? And then they make these drastic changes, and there you go. I want to get this in because we were talking about the players and the philosophy. Kendrick Bourne after last night's game. So I'm sure a lot of people heard just the kind of the snapshot, the 20-second sort of, here's what Kendrick Bourne had to say. Here is pretty much in context about a minute 10 of the discussion with Kendrick Bourne. And who on the team was he talking about when you listened to this?
Just how it goes, you know, whatever coaches call, that's what we got to run. So we have plays. We have more plays, but I think just trying to take care of the ball, play smart, just play the play that's called. That's all I can really say. So I'm not sure.
When you say you have more plays, it does feel like sometimes the passing calls are repeat calls. Like, do you feel like that out there as well?
Yeah. I mean, we got to get the ball downfield. So I think Mac needs more time. He's obviously running around, so it's hard to get the ball downfield when you can't really have time for him to throw. no knock to the line. It's just what we need to work on. The receivers can't do nothing if the ball can't get downfield. If we can't throw it past 5 yards, it's just going to be a long game. And shout out to the Bills. They did a great job, you know, controlling the clock, keeping us off the field, keeping us kind of cold and, like, stagnant. It was a great game plan they had. And we just got to be able to get the ball downfield. Like you said, we have plays, but we can't get to them. We're calling them, but they're just not working. So it looks, we're throwing 5 yard routes, and that's what we catch it. So it looks one way. But hopefully we can get more, Mac more time so that he can make the plays.
I mean, he's clearly calling out the offensive line, but also Patricia. I think Patricia as well, where he's like, yeah, we just have these same plays and we, you know, we call the plays and basically saying like Mac has no, he can't change the plays.
So you
at the
took
line.
It as, you took it as O-line because I did too.
Yeah.
When he circled back the second time around and was like, yeah, we got plays, but when we call them, we can't execute them.
But he's
basically
also saying like we call, like what's called, we run.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Omaha, there's no Mac changing it at the line or seeing something or saying, you know, we're going to try this.
The only change was the touchdown.
Map was for sure.
Well,
I doubt it. Well, because why else would Marcus Jones be on the field if they weren't going to give him the ball?
Well, as soon as Marcus Jones came on the field, it was let's run a blitz off that side because here's a defensive guy that won't see it. And and they, because I know Herb Street was on the, hey, Mac Jones pulls this up and throws it because everybody, it looked like, was going to the right with Ramondre kind of thing.
Yeah, but I feel like the ball is going to Jones. I mean,
regardless, I don't know. I don't think that's a called play because you're reacting to the safety.
But Bourne just said they run what's called, and they have to run what's called. So that's why it seemed like it started out as a Patricia criticism, but then it turned to we have no time to run anything.
Well, the problem on changing plays is what are you going to? And there's your fundamental issue.
And that's
what's
tough too. Is so
Tom Brady had the whole catalog if he wanted to.
But who's wrong then? Because Mac is screaming on the sideline to throw it deep, but Kendrick Bourne saying they don't have time to go deep.
I think
so. If Patricia's saying let's run short stuff. Isn't Patricia trying to overcome the bad O line by running short stuff?
He's trying to, but I also think Mac is yelling at his O line as well. When it's the shit, like nothing, basically nothing was working. So
could be.
I mean, I thought that was more of a change at the line of scrimmage and just kind of reacting to what they saw. But then again, what are you checking to?
I also thought what was comical is their longest time of possession, their longest drive that they had was when they were down 17. It was like
at the end of the game where it was just taking all the underneath
stuff. Right, which is what led to them exploding because they're like on the one hand, they're like, oh, they're getting something going. It's like, no, they're not. The Bills have a 3-possession lead. They're like, go ahead, throw it 4 yards.
The Bills are managing the game because of the injuries.
And how many third down throws, by the way, were thrown short of the sticks last night?
Well,
like that's everybody, right? That's on Mac. Well, that's on the receiver. That's concepts. On the line. That's on the play calls. That's all kinds of stuff.
617-779-7937. We also got to get to what Bill Belichick said about Marcus Jones. And, of course, more of you unpacking last night's loss next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas. I looked to the sky with excited eyes.
So will Bill Belichick unwrap a new offensive coordinator under the tree at the end of the season?
Kind of feels like a must. Kind of feels like a must.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Keith, because at The Real Gresh on Twitter, I put up a poll a little while ago.
Ooh, poll?
I did, and nice. It's a question for us to get to at some point.
All right.
What do the Patriots need most this offseason? And I put offensive tackle and then an S there, Oles. They need two.
Yep. Yeah, sure.
Offensive
sure.
tackles, stud corner, number one wide receiver, or new offensive coordinator. Right now, number one wide receiver is at 9.5%. Offensive tackles at 13%.
Yep.
New offensive coordinators, 77%.
So you're already asking about the offseason. So have you come around as to they're not making the playoffs, they're not good?
After last night, okay. No. Right. And they might win nine, but right. they
because they got to go now 4-1 in their final five.
You got to win the next two and beat Cincinnati. And then hope that Miami and Buffalo play the end of the year seeding game.
Correct. No, that's your only hope at this point.
And what's aggravating is that if you beat Minnesota or you get one of the other ones and you're 7-5 versus 6-6, but the 6-6 now.
Yeah.
I mean,
just on paper, this is kind of how it went, except they should have beaten Chicago. Like, if you're just looking at the teams, like, I think it's about right.
And you know what? I don't even feel that way.
The game itself didn't play out that way.
Minnesota and Green Bay are the two that stick with me more, where it felt like you really shot yourself in the foot.
Because
to me, Chicago came in and beat you.
No, they did. I'm saying, like, when we did the win-loss at the beginning of the year.
Oh, got it.
It's kind of gone, actually, to form, except for the Chicago game. But you're right. The actual game itself, those other two
are more
winnable.
I understand what you're saying now.
But I think, and we have all week and next week to talk about it, but even Arizona and Vegas, because they're both road games and because the Patriots are the way they are, like, those aren't gimmies, even though maybe they should have been.
They'll probably be favored in both.
Yeah, no, probably, but they just have so many issues. Most of them are offensively, but then now the defense isn't even as good as maybe we thought it was through the first, eight games.
You can't ask your defense to play against a team that could end up being in the Final Four for 40 minutes and not get anything on the other side.
No.
It's just a recipe for disaster. Mike in the truck, Gresh and Keith. Hi, Mike.
What's up, boys? I know it's sacrilegious, right? I know everybody's going to freak out. Keith, you started doing it a segment or two ago. Go down the list. What does Bill even do well anymore? He can't draft. He's had some hits, but he can't draft well. He can't evaluate and sign the proper free agents. Look at the coaching staff he's assembled. Can't manage the locker room, it seems, even at this point. The game plan, it seems, terrible. You could say it's the O-line. He made Patricia the play caller / pseudo O-line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Traded Shaq Mason.
Mm-hmm.
It drafted Cole Strange. It all goes back to Bill.
100% it goes back to Bill. And he even said it this offseason.
Right.
He was like, put it on me. Like, I'm the one. I'm in charge. You're like, okay. Well, then everybody should turn their attention towards him.
And now it's up to him to make the changes in the offseason.
It's a great point, too, about Shaq Mason. We talked about it a lot earlier in the year. We've kind of gone away from it. But the offensive line has been as bad as it is. And what they did last year was a strength of the team. It's one of the reasons why Mac Jones had a good rookie year, was because he wasn't running for his life the whole time. He wasn't getting pummeled. They could actually throw stuff downfield. They could run the ball. And they lowballed Ted Karras and watched him walk away, and they traded Shaq Mason for a bag of balls. And then they kept Isaiah Wynn and Trent Brown, and they flipped them.
Well, there you go. There's the real, because again, has Mike Onwenu been a problem this year?
He's been fine.
Right. So to me, swapping out Mason for Onwenu is not the issue.
But Onwenu could have played tackle.
The tackles. See, I don't think so.
Well,
I don't
what
think.
What happened in his rookie year?
No,
he was
but
a good tackle.
Well, I don't think they think so. And honestly,
well, they think wrong.
Well, they,
clearly, based
well, no,
on winning, Brown.
They proved it last year. I think in terms of guard, he's in a great. Like that to me isn't the quibble. It's the they really and again Patriot level invested in Trent Brown. They didn't give him $15 million like a lot of left tackles, but it was we're going to bring him back and we'll flip the other guy. And that whole concept of that. Not only did it not work, they then didn't either get or develop the depth behind them as well.
But you also
they've blown it a tackle more than they have on the interior.
Well, we're also learning very clearly that coaching matters in the NFL. And if you're going to switch your tackles and introduce a rookie guard, and you're going to have a guy who's never coached offensive line,
that's
do
a problem.
It,
there's
how are you expecting to get any growth out of that?
And that's
They're worse now than it feels like they even were week one and two.
And who is the guy that's tied into that directly?
Yeah.
Like if Matt Patricia were the wide receivers coach, it would almost be like, well, listen, those guys can never get the ball because the O-line stinks, but the O-line stinks and the guy who can't fix it is the one calling the plays.
This was obvious from the get-go. We all had a different range of how bad we thought it was going to be, but just the whole hiring process, it'd be like if Andy Reid reached out to Frank Reich right now and said, hey, you can coach our defense. It's the same thing. Think about how crazy that would be. And from the outside, it'd be like, Andy Reid brought in his old offensive coordinator to now run his defense? Like, oh, I think the guy's losing it. That's what Bill did. And that's what he's continuing to do.
And that's why it's up to him to change. Like, there is no choice
now.
But
what a wasted season.
No, I know.
This is a whole season. Like, this is ridiculous.
You have to hope that the strain that they went through makes some of these guys better. Because, again, I know, like, oh, Bill can't draft. The last two have been relatively fruitful. Like, I know Barmore's hurt. There's the whole, what did you do to Mac? But, you know, Jones is jumping in there. Hell, Marcus Jones, the third-round pick, won you a game, for God's sake.
So I would say the last two have shown signs of improvement, but it's the previous four which were bums, and then they led you to spending crazy in free agency, and you've actually had a bad hit rate there as well. So it's all kind of fallen
off. They
on
got
itself.
Into the chasing for Brady and of the Brady run.
Yeah,
like we're going to swap picks to go get guys. We're going to draft this wide receiver.
Yeah.
They, in trying to really, there, and it's almost two different strategies because you're not looking at it and saying, well, I'm going to give up a second round pick in the middle of the year to go get a wide receiver for Mac Jones when we can't block. Because, like, go get Mohamed Sanu. Bad valuation. Want to complain that that was a wasted second round pick.
It was.
But philosophically, they're at 2020, the philosophy changed in terms of how they drafted.
But also,
because they weren't taking care of a QB.
But then again, 2020, you draft two tight ends. They both suck so bad that you have to overspend on Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. And I don't think Henry stinks. I just think they don't use him. And then Jonnu Smith, I do think stinks. And those are two guys that you're spending a lot of money on.
We'll continue unpacking Patriots Bills next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.